got that new iPhone, and I know you already have it, but I went from the switch on the side to that button, that action button.
What did you assign on your action button?
Listen, I just got it, so I'm like, I'll just do silent for now. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to be able to be like, shut up. Let me turn it off.
You know I get mean? It. Right now, it's my social media. It's like I click it, and then my social media opens up.
What social? What social?
Laps.
What?
Laps. I invited you to the social media platform Laps.
Laps?
Take a picture. You take a picture, and then you wait a couple hours, and then it gives it to you. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. That was weeks ago, Luis. I know. Okay?
Listen, if you're not on Laps, get on Laps. Actually, you can't get on Laps because you have to be invited. So DM us at PunchDrunkNerd to get an exclusive invite to the biggest and hottest social media app, Laps.
I'm kind of blown away, to be honest.
I love Laps. This is why I love Laps. No ads. Only friends. Only friends having a good time.
You've heard of OnlyFans. But this today, is only friends.
Only friends. It also throws a really cool disposable filter on it. So it makes you feel like a photographer.
That's dope.
You know, which is really nice. But we're not here to talk about social media platforms. We're not here to talk about iPhones. No, we are here to talk about the Super Bowl. Welcome back to Punch Truck Nerd, the podcast where two friends, two amigos, talk about nerd shit. And this week, we are talking about the Super Bowl. Why are we talking about the Super Bowl? No, we're not talking about the game. Although it was a good game, we're going to talk about the trailers and the commercials. We're interested in that stuff, and that's the content we want. Listen, it's me, Luigi, and with me is
Miguel Sanchez.
Okay, we got a lot of trailers, Miguel. We're going to jump right into it. Let's not waste any more time. Let's talk about the biggest trailer that hit.
I know the one you're most excited for.
Twisters. Okay, let's talk about Twisters real quick. I know, I threw a curveball.
No, I'm hyped for this movie.
Let's just do it real
quick.
No one thought I was going to talk about Twisters first. Let's talk about Twisters first, okay?
Dude, I am so hyped. I just rewatched the trailer before we talked about it tonight, and I was like, you know what? Like, did it need to be made? No. But that's some of the best movies. That's some of the best content. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dude, and it's got, what's his name? Glenn Howell. He's like blowing up
right now. He's coming up now. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, and it's been a while. He's been on the scene for a minute.
It feels like there's that one frame where he's looking at the Twister. I think it's like the last frame. They're looking at it all intensely. And I was like, oh, yeah, this dude fits this perfectly.
Dude, he is like the Bill Paxton. I hate when legacy sequels are just trying to redo the first movie.
Yeah,
and that's 99% what's happening. Play
the beats. You know,
But for some reason, he totally fits this, and
he understands it. He understands the assignment.
Throw him out there, dude. Like, throw him in that bitch. I'm ready to go.
I like it. I mean, look, when I played the trailer, it looked intense, and that's all I want. It's Mother Nature versus humanity. And I was on the edge of my seat. Listen, why are they chasing it? I don't know. Maybe that's the one thing. It doesn't make sense. You know, he's like, I'm a cowboy. I'm chasing these twisters.
Yeah.
You know, they have that one line. It's not one twister. It's two of them. Twisties.
At one point, I mean, we were talking to the group chat, and Sarah texted, it was like, twisters. And I was like, dude, when like the Dorothy machine opens up in the trailer, I was like, is this twisters? Like, I was, I'm so hyped for this movie. That first one's so good. I also feel like it's been long enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That like, okay, if we're going to throw a sequel out there, hit or miss, it's time. You know what I mean?
You know what? And this director is Lee Isaac Chung, who also directed Minari. Ed loved that movie. You know, it's not like it's a nice indie movie. So you have this kind of this artistic director coming in, putting his hand on. And it feels like someone competent is kind of giving, you know, the vision and the direction just by looking at that trailer.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was about to be like, you guys will never believe who's directing this movie. Like, a year or two ago, they were saying Helen Hunt was coming back to direct this movie. Okay. She was going to direct it because she was in the first one.
Right. Okay.
She was going to direct it with like a whole new cast of actors.
That's like a stunt cast. You know what I mean? That's like a stunt.
Yeah.
Like directing. It's like, okay, I guess.
But based on that knowledge from 2 years ago, I was about to fully confidently tell you Helen Hunt was directing this movie. So thank God you said something before I did.
No, I think it looks good. Like, again, I don't know why they're chasing them. So maybe like script wise doesn't make sense, but visually, very enticing. Very excited.
Hang on a second. What do you mean you don't understand? I mean, storm chasers, they chase what?
The storms.
Storms, right? Okay. Like, what else do you need? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. Fine.
Like a lawyer tries a case. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
so I guess that makes sense.
A storm chaser's chasing storms. There's storms every day.
I looked up storm chasers on Wikipedia, and apparently it's a very niche.
It depends on how you want to say it.
It's not a popular job, but it's like.
Can we go on a quick tangent and we can wrap it up right after this?
Okay.
Would you chase tornadoes?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of, right? It's kind of fucking dope.
I'm an adrenaline donkey. You know what I mean? I'm ready to chase.
You've lived through earthquakes. You've lived through hurricanes. Have you ever lived through a twister, a tornado?
You know what? Actually, yeah. Oh, I remember one time I was a kid in Dallas because we get little tornado alley.
That's
there.
Where they are. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I remember as a little kid, I had to hide in the bathroom. And luckily, the tornado kind of missed our little patch of the neighborhood. But then you look across the street and you just see like roofs just torn apart.
Yeah.
And I remember it clearly because that's when Twister came out. Like Twister came out like a year or two before.
It was like fresh on the brain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh. I was like, oh man, Twister's happening. No, but I don't know why. As a kid, for some reason, I used to play Twister on the playground. I used to like release the balls. You know what I mean? And then we would like tie ourselves to the playground with a belt because that's what they did in the barn.
They do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, hold on. It's like in the third act. And then, you know, there was a whole campaign with the flying cows and like McDonald's. Yeah. So what a weird franchise to be coming out. But listen, they sold it and I'm here for it.
I'm here for it too. I'll see it.
That's a podcast, everybody. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week.
Thanks, guys.
No, we have a mini episode. We have a lot more trailers to talk about. Obviously, the one we want to talk about is
Knuckles. Could you guys believe Paramount Plus, the 6-episode streaming event?
Wow. Is it a limited series event, Knuckles?
I guess so. That's what they're saying, dude. Like, what's funny is we've been watching Only Murders in the Building. Kristen's having me watch it right now. It's my first time going through it. We're on season 3. Yeah, it's a ton of fun. I'll talk about it later.
Okay.
But we're on season 3 right now, and there's a bit where, first off, Martin Short and Steve Martin are fucking hilarious.
Yes, they are.
And there's a whole bit where he's like, I can convince you to do anything. He's like, nuh-uh. And he's like, well, I convinced you to download Paramount Plus. Did you really want that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's so true. Like, who is like clamoring for Paramount Plus?
Paramount Plus is probably the bottom two streaming,
but you know what, they surprisingly have some good stuff. You really have to,
they surprisingly,
like,
surprisingly do. Yeah,
you gotta pay that $5.99 to be surprised. Okay,
they like, they have The Curse, Christopher Nolan's, you know, newest and favorite TV show. But we're not talking about The Curse, we're talking about Knuckles. I don't actually remember this trailer, to be honest. Well, maybe I do. I just, you know, I went to a party and there were a lot of people talking, a lot of beers being drunk, and so it's just kind of, sometimes you miss certain commercials, miss certain moments. But I'm guessing it's just Knuckles standing in front of a door and looking imposing, and I'm sure he has a quirky friend, and they're gonna go solve some mysteries or something.
Yeah, Sonic actually shows up. Okay.
No, he doesn't. Does he really?
I swear to God, he does. I'm sure it's only for like a bit that they're doing. It's like Knuckles the TV show.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Sonic, where someone's trying to steal. Oh, I guess when the movie that Knuckles shows up and they're trying to steal Sonic's powers, maybe, or something like that. They're replaying that beat with the Knuckles TV show. It's a 6-episode streaming event. Okay.
I love how they call these things events.
Like, rushing for this. Okay. the same channel that's got Halo season 1 and 2 coming out soon. Okay.
Season 1 was rough.
No, I only put this out there just because my kid loves Sonic. I seem to like to talk about the things that my kid loves.
Sonic's a hit with the kids, and it's a romp. I can see them make a couple of those.
Absolutely.
Question.
Yeah.
Sonic and Mario ever having a crossover? Do you think it's going to happen?
First off, I mean, I guess Sonic is owned. I don't know who Sonic is owned.
Paramount.
Universal? And then, or is it Paramount?
Paramount.
Does Paramount and Universal, are they like similar?
No, they're separate. Okay. They would have to be like a Sony and Disney, like how they share Spider-Man.
Yeah,
you know, like, I think Sonic would have to enter into a portal with a ring and then enter into Mario Land or something.
I'm pretty sure the creators of Mario were already talking about, like, we want to do like a whole video game universe.
Oh yeah, like a Super Smash Brothers kind of, like, Kirby and so on and so forth.
Could I see like Mario and Sonic getting together in that avenue? Like, yeah, I absolutely could. And listen, my family will sign up for it day one. Okay. Paramount needs a year subscription out of us, we'll go ahead and give it to them.
Well, the Paramount executives are listening to our podcast, so they know exactly what to do next. Let's greenlight this project. Let's move on to another. Listen, let's talk about Deadpool. Okay.
This is the one. All right. I was dicking around.
Yeah. First off, can I just say that these Super Bowl commercials are like, okay, the trailer's live. Go online and check it out. It's like, what the hell?
Hated that. Because the very first trailer they showed for the Super Bowl was Deadpool.
It was Deadpool,
And then they didn't even show the whole thing. And it was like, what do you think I'm here for?
You want me to now turn away from the TV and look it up online?
And, I mean, shout out to Ed. I feel like me and him were doing the same thing. I don't know about you. But, I mean, I hopped online like a fucking jackass. I hopped online immediately, and I couldn't find it right away. And it was like, I had to jump through...
That's bad on them.
That's on them. That's what I'm saying. I had to jump to Twitter where I had to watch like a super tiny compressed version of it until loaded. Cause I mean, so many people are trying to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And finally it cleared out and I could sit down and watch the trailer. And listen, I enjoyed the trailer, but I did not enjoy that experience. You know what I mean?
I understand. Yeah. I was driving at the moment. I was safe about it, but I did have the Super Bowl game playing on a Hulu on my dash there. I was just listening. Right. So I heard it happening. I was listening. I wasn't able to watch right away. I watched the trailer when I got home, and I had a good experience because I watched it on my iPad Pro and full screen. Ooh, it was nice with my AirPods 2 Pros as well.
Luis,
I'm having a good time.
This is the trailer. I'm sorry, the movie you're like most looking forward to this year.
Yeah,
is what you told us previously.
I got hyped. Let me tell you, when he did that gun thing, like, I was here for it. Look, they're just having a good time. You could feel the chemistry. You could feel the love. You could just feel them. Like I said, having a good time. There's clear direction. It's not complicated. Yeah. They didn't reveal too much, and you know. Sean Levy is directing this, and he's worked with Ryan Reynolds in a lot of movies. Let me pull up his
Fall Guy? Not Fall Guy.
Fall Guy, The Adam Project. He's also done Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Night at the Museum, Date Night.
These are hits.
Big Fat Liar. Come on. What I'm saying is that he's done successful. Like, look, are they incredible? Wow. No, but they're going to be fun. And this is what I have to say about this. Will it be amazing? Maybe not. But will I have fun? Yes. And that's fine with me. It's either going to be, I remember I was told this in college, either it's entertaining or it's art. If it's one or the other, then that's fine. You know? And so if this is going to be entertaining, then I'm there for it.
Absolutely. Wow. Why haven't you said that before? It feels like that totally sums up like how you and I sometimes kind of lock in on movies. And I feel like you're always like, you know, sometimes I want a hamburger. That's what you should have said.
Sometimes my analogies get out of control sometimes.
No, I get it though, but I get it.
No, sometimes I want to be in the beach and sometimes I just want to be by the river. You know what I mean?
This is why I come to you, Luis. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm not going to lie. I agree with you. This is a movie I'm definitely looking forward to. It's like, let's revive Marvel a little bit. You know what I mean? Like let's have a little fun. They're obviously very like tongue in cheek. They're winking at the camera a lot.
Yeah.
I loved that Ed, I kind of said this in the text message, but like Ed texted us and he was like, oh, I think it's so funny. They're fighting in front of the 20th Century Fox logo. And I was like, you didn't know that was happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was like, no. And I was like, okay, like you were like terminally offline. Like, it feels like I am so
actually, hold on.
You didn't know that either?
I'm going to put myself out there. What are you talking about? They're fighting themselves in front of the logo.
You didn't see it. First off, did you even read Ed's text messages? We give Ed so much shit. Okay.
I know Luis, he does.
You what? Have to. Ed,
there was a lot happening on Super Bowl night. I think I'm allowed one night. I'm not looking.
I was pretty drunk. We were fast.
Chronically texting. Doesn't look at the messages.
Okay? No, that's what I'm saying. So not only does he not read our messages, but he's like terminally offline. Like he does not get on the internet the way that I do. And I thought maybe you did. But no, like you've seen all of these Deadpool leaks where they're like fighting on the beach or whatever.
Well, actually, I've been trying to avoid the Deadpool leaks. That's why I haven't seen them.
But you're saying you don't know one thing that I'm talking about.
The 21st century logo or the lot?
The logo. They fight in front of it because it's like they're killing. It's like they're killing the Fox franchise. I can't believe I'm saying this right now.
I didn't know this, actually.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Are there set photos? Or hold on.
Yes! What are you talking about? I can't believe this. I mean, that's like the whole thing.
The one that I've seen is them walking in the desert. You know what I mean? Like the one that they always use over and over.
Okay. So one of the things that was criticized about the trailer was like the very last shot is like the silhouette of Wolverine coming in. And then he like.
What is it criticized? Of course.
Let me fucking talk. So he comes in and he like slashes Deadpool and they go to the title. And a lot of people were like, why would you even hide that Wolverine was in this movie? We've already seen the photos.
They're not hiding it. It's called.
No. There's like 75 photos of all of this. First off, Ryan Reynolds. Did you even know that Ryan Reynolds came out and was like, guys, he had to get serious. He was like, guys, leaks ruin movies, and we're trying to give you the best experience.
I think I kind of remember that.
You remember that?
And then I was like, I hear you. I'm not going to look at those leaks, Ryan, and I didn't.
Man, okay. Well, fuck me. Like, they were all over Twitter, okay,
well, which I'm not calling Wolverine X. Everyone knew Wolverine was going to be. They had that video where it was Hugh Jackman and him.
Could you name any Deadpool. Other surprise character that's in this?
Dazzler. I've heard that there's a potential that Taylor Swift might be in.
I have heard this. Okay.
Because Blake Lively, the wife of Ryan Reynolds, is friends with Taylor Swift. As you can tell at the Super Bowl game,
they are BFFs.
You saw Blake right there. That she could potentially also
Dazzler, from what I gather by context, Dazzler is also not only a mutant, but she is like a superstar celebrity type, like right?
Exactly.
It's like it just goes hand
celebrity,
in hand.
It fits, yeah.
Okay. Well, watching the trailer, so I won't fuck the leaks for a second. I'm honestly blown away, to be honest, Luis. Like, we'll talk about this down the road, I guess. Okay. But just so you know, there is somebody.
I see it now. Okay.
I mean, there is somebody listening right now that's like, okay, Miguel is not wrong. Okay. Yeah. Like, I didn't pull this out of my ass. But anyway, in the trailer, I sent it in on Instagram in our chat earlier today. I was kind of blown away. I didn't catch this. They do like a like a close up of a character. He says the line, they move on.
Pyro.
I have no idea who it was, but it was Pyro from X-Men 2.
Yeah,
he's much older now. Okay, like it's one of those things.
He's
like, do you remember that Fast and Furious movie? Was it Fast 9 when they showed some of the Tokyo Drift characters and they like kind of hop into frame and everyone was like, oh fucking Tokyo Drift. I was like, who is this old man? Okay.
Yeah.
That's how I felt in this moment when I finally was like clued into who it was. I was like, oh, okay. Like we're pulling in like X-Men characters. So that makes me think we're going to see some other Fox properties come in and probably die. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're jumping right into Marvel. They're playing with the TVA. We know TVA from Loki. There's variations. It's the multiverse. Did you know anything about like variations or the TVA before watching this trailer?
No, but I mean
specifically for Deadpool, like obviously you know the context, but
I know the context, but there is no variation of TVA. There's only one TVA, right?
Sorry, I'm just talking about like the I'm just using keywords here.
The multiverse.
Like, but you know that there's variations of characters, like right in Loki, there's Loki and the other Loki and
Of course, variants is what we.
So I feel like we're gonna see some variants here in Deadpool as well. And I'm speaking simply because I've seen the leaks. But I'm honestly blown away that I'm saying all these words to you for the first time. I just thought you would have known.
I really tried my hardest to not get leaked about Deadpool, but it's fine. Like, I think that's really fun. Matthew McFadden, I was shocked when I heard him speaking. I was like, I forget that you are not American. And I'm actually kind of offended that I didn't hear you in your American Succession voice. It still irks me a little bit. Like, it doesn't feel right. It feels like, feels like he's putting on an accent, to be honest.
First off, it feels like he walked right off the Succession set in the same suit he was wearing. They just changed the tie and they were like, here are your lines, here are your sides. And he was like, yes, Papa. You know what I mean?
His accent sounds fake to me. I think he just did such a good job with Succession that I just can't. It's hard to hear anything else. It's going to be a good time.
One thing I do want to talk about, I just rewatched a trailer before tonight and I caught a line of dialogue that I didn't see the first time. So correct me if I'm wrong, but like Deadpool's girlfriend, whatever her name is, like she dies at one point.
Yeah. And then that's the whole plot of the second movie is they bring her back.
And that's how the TVA comes in. And because they're like pruning timelines that don't.
That's good. Yeah. She's supposed to be dead.
And that's why they show up. But at his birthday party, she tells him like blow out his candle. And she says something about like make a wish, buddy. And I just, I, that stood out to me because I was like, oh, like when, not that you don't call your loved one buddy right. or something, but it does feel like a friend.
Oh, I see.
Like moniker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering
it,
if
it does
like,
seem like there's issues between them at the beginning. They're kind of quiet and solemn to each other. Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's not quite the relationship it was prior to all that. So I do think some of that's going to come into play. Listen, Deadpool coming in, obviously Wolverine, X-Men, Marvel. This is like the stepping stone, right?
We needed this. I think we needed this.
And it feels like we've had a lot of like misstepping stones, if you know what I'm saying. Like we're
in fact, everything has been a misstepping stone for a while.
Let's please let this work. Okay. Yeah. Cause I feel like if this goes downhill, then there's just really,
I think they're giving them ownership. And that's the key thing is that they've built this character and they know the character. And so they're just saying, take it, own it and fly with it. Where other times you get new directors who aren't sure of the IP and they're being fed by the studio. And yes,
or they're being like held by the studio.
They're being held. Yeah.
You have to do it this way, you know?
Right. So he has a lot of clout, but it looks very fun. And I'm here for it. I'm very excited to see this.
And trailer. we've talked about it, but it's like Deadpool is, I think, the only Marvel movie or maybe one other Marvel movie coming out
this year. I think
it's
the only one this year. It's
the only one.
It's the only one from Marvel Studios while Sony is pumping out three of them. Madame Web. Every time, everywhere I go, that's how I call it. And they're like, you know, it's Madame Web, Louis. Like, I know. No, but isn't it funny?
No,
it's Madame Web.
I literally cannot wait for that movie. All right. Well, hey, Deadpool, that was the one. I know you were really excited about it. I'm very excited. I think it looks like a lot of fun. I do hope that it's just like the fun. Let me ask you this one last thing, and then we'll stop talking about Deadpool. Is this the trailer you're gonna watch and then no others?
Ooh, I didn't think about that, but will it be? I don't know,
because we tend to take that stance, right? Like we watch the trailer and then it's like I don't want to watch anymore, but I don't really think this was the trailer, you know what I mean?
I will say, how about I will let you and Ed decide if I should watch the next one.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know if Ed will. Ed may, just because he doesn't care. And
Ed won't care.
Yeah, I feel like that. So me and him don't care in the same, in a slightly different way. Yeah. You know what I mean? Ed will not care because he absolutely does not care. I won't care because I'm like, oh, I'm vibing. Hey, let's go. You know what I mean?
I feel like in the future, Ed's going to be like, don't watch the trailer. And you're going to be like, Luis, watch this trailer. No, like, Luis, I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, all right.
When does this movie come out? Can we give the? I remember. I love last week. You're like, Google it.
Yeah, I mean, fucking. You're listening right now. You're already on your phone. Maybe you're in your car. Don't Google while you're driving. Okay?
July 26th. It comes out July 26th. You know who else? Whoop! I got spoiled. Okay, wait. What? Is this real?
Stop.
I just looked up Deadpool 3, and I got a couple characters. This can't
stop,
be right.
Stop. What is it? What is it? While you're talking about it, spoilers. Spoilers.
If you don't want to spoil, skip over. I mean, it says Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston is going to be in it.
Oh, okay. First off, I haven't seen any indication. My only guess that that's happening is simply because the TVA. I know that Loki ended season two. You saw Loki season two, right? Loki season two. Sorry. Loki season two ended on a certain point. I could see Tom Hiddleston being referenced, but not being like a key player just yet.
Just like a little blip and then moved on.
Obviously,
I googled it, and Google gave this to me, so I'm not like this is. I don't know what the source is here.
I feel like Owen Wilson has been kind of rumored to be in this again solely because the TVA is involved.
Yeah.
I
still think Brad Pitt might be in this movie
because he was in
Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, let him. Brad Pitt.
Let him, as the kids say, bake. What other trailer do we have?
Listen, there's another big one I want to talk about. Let's take a breather. Let's talk about a different one first, okay? We've talked about, I feel like we've talked about this movie a lot, but I watched yet another trailer for it, okay?
Okay.
Let's talk about Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
I could give two shits about this movie.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Miguel.
Say it.
I didn't watch this trailer online at all.
All right.
I saw it on the Super Bowl and I was like, I got it. And then that was it. I didn't
get it.
I went through all these trailers again, and I was like, I kind of don't want to see this trailer. Like, I really...
So, I kind of said this previously, like, I just don't really see the point. And then you kind of made a good point that, well, in the Planet of the Apes, right, like, the whole thing is that there's a starting point, and then there's, like, the Planet of the Apes, right? Like, where the whole planet is apes. It's in the future. It's beyond what we've seen. And then the discovery of, oh, the Earth is the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the timeline it seems like they're going for now. Like, we are hundreds of years in the future, yada, yada. The first trailer or so we watched for this, I just really couldn't care. I didn't think anything of it. I did kind of enjoy this trailer. They gave just a little bit more of the story so that you kind of understand the context of everyone. What's the
story? What did they give you more of the story this time?
So it's like one faction of the apes. He's like the king, right? Like, it's his
what
kingdom.
A wonderful day. Or
what a
like.
Wonderful day. Right. Exactly. Yeah. That guy. And they're anti-humans. And then there's, I mean, it feels, I don't think they quite spelled it out, but it feels like a Caesar, like great grandson type situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like some sort of generation of Caesar is finding this. He's talking to another monk, ape, excuse me. And is, they're CGI. I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
Talking to him about how like humans and apes used to coexist and now they don't. And so it seems like he's finding like a soft spot for them. So he's kind of pretend. And there's just one girl specifically, and the orangutan is like, oh, she's smarter than the other ones.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? So it's like the Caesar spinoff seems like he's like, I want to keep her safe. They could potentially, I feel like, wasn't there a whole thing like where Charles, what's his name? Heston. He like kissed a monkey at one point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, are they doing the opposite of it now where it's like the monkey and the girl?
Maybe.
You know, I mean, just thought about that, and I'm not really for one way or the other. I just
I don't know. Let's see when this movie came out. I would say this. I did think about rewatching all the Planet of the Apes movie.
I could do that. First off, I could do the Caesar movies. I think they're all pretty good. But you know what movie that I kind of really enjoyed was the Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes, the Tim Burton one.
The Tim Burton
one.
Dude,
did you watch that one?
Long time ago. I don't remember it, though.
So. Dude, I watched it on VHS when the VHS was blue.
Oh, wow. I always loved it when they painted the VHS.
Bro, when they changed that shit, like, you were like,
the burger was orange, you know what I mean?
Yes, dude. Yeah. Shrek was green. You know what I mean? No, I remember that. We watched it. We rented it from Blockbuster, and I remember we watched it like two or three times that weekend because we had it. And it was like, it was pretty good. I mean, Paul Giamatti, he's up for an Oscar this year. He was a monkey in that movie. You know what I mean?
Ape. Yeah.
Together strong.
No, I think I might, May 10th, I have enough time. I'm going to go with the oldies and go all the way to the newbies.
Let's fucking do it. Like, why not? I've been doing the Godzilla movies. Like, you should do the Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah. So we'll do Planet of the Apes. We'll do a ranking, Ed, and we'll see how that goes. So Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Is that the full title? The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Okay.
Okay, let's talk about another big trailer. I don't know if you felt anything about this trailer, okay?
Yeah.
I did not. I was surprised when I got on the internet the next day how many people were talking about this trailer, okay?
It's a big trailer. It's a big IP.
I get it. I totally get it. It is not my bag.
Say the title. Let's see if the audience can
Let's see if they can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I think the original one did so well that people loved it, and so now that they're seeing it come into film, they're hyped for it.
They're hyped. But I never watched it. Maybe those expectations are a little too high. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
this might be The Last of Us for that type of genre.
Absolutely. I mean, you know what I mean. Like it's trying to defy gravity, but I'm like, I don't know if you can. Okay.
Is that a song in it? Defy gravity.
You fuck.
Oh. I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
Were we talking about the same one?
Are we talking about Wicked?
Yes.
Okay.
I was like, how long are we going to keep this up?
Yeah.
Let's do this dance. No, I never saw Wicked. I remember it was a big cultural phenomenon.
It was when it came out.
Yeah. I do understand Defying Gravity. I've heard that song. I understand that it's a big moment in the show. Like I said, I've never actually
I don't even know that song. You just said, I thought it was an Ariana Grande song for a second. I was like, oh, Gravity.
No, Idina Menzel played Elphaba in Wicked, the original run of Wicked.
Elphaba?
Yeah.
Is that the Wicked Witch of the West?
Honestly, why do we even have a podcast if we're going to talk about shit this like this?
Because you're informing me. You're
I barely know about this. I shouldn't be the one that's educating us on Elphaba.
Okay.
But Elphaba.
Elphaba. Okay. The Wicked Witch.
Yes, exactly. So it's the Wizard of Oz story, but it's like the prequel.
Yes.
I kind of went down like a rabbit hole after this trailer came out because I'll just do a really quick, like I woke up in the middle of the night. I couldn't go to sleep. So I hopped on my phone. And the first thing on Reddit that I saw was the subreddit Unpopular Opinion.
Okay.
And the unpopular opinion was, I don't think every song needs like some riff. And they were talking about like
some riff.
Like imagine, you know, Christina Aguilera, like instead of saying the word yeah, she would sing like yeah. Oh, a run, not a riff. Oh, you know what I mean?
Okay,
yeah,
it's called like, a run.
But do you understand what I'm talking about when I say a run?
Ooh, like
you know what I'm talking about?
I'm having some beer. Like
exactly,
that kind of
exactly, okay. Dude. Fucking,
okay. Let's go.
Mark. So apparently at the end of the Wicked trailer they do a quick tease of Defying Gravity. Okay. And Cynthia Orvo, she's playing Elphaba, and they do like a run, and I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, oh, that's Defying Gravity, that's like the song. You should, I'll send you the link later, you should listen to it. I mean, it is pretty like inspiring or whatever.
Okay.
So anyway, I hopped on Reddit in the middle of the night, and then the unpopular opinion was, I don't think every song needs a run.
Okay.
Whatever. And as I was reading the comments, I was like, oh, people don't seem to really enjoy that moment in the trailer. And then someone tagged the subreddit Broadway, and they were like, yeah, Broadway's really tearing this up right now.
Oh, no.
And I clicked on it so fast. I was like, yeah. I've never even visited this subreddit. Let me go. Let me see what's going on. And yeah, every post about the trailer, every single comment was like, wow, she's really fucking that song up. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize we felt that way about it. Like,
well, listen, I imagine this music has came out a long time ago.
Yeah, like 20 years ago almost.
And people listen to it over and over and over and over again. Like, it is just, it has to be done a very, like a certain way.
So
when they do something different, it's like, that's not how it's supposed to be done.
I've watched several seasons of The Voice, okay? I don't know if you ever watch NBC's The Voice.
No, I don't.
But there was a couple seasons where Adam Levine, who I think was a pretty decent coach, okay? From Maroon 5.
I don't even know the concept of that. Do they have an episode where they're like, all right, man, let me hear you sing. All right, no, you got to sing like this. Is that how he coaches them, or what does he do?
Bro, do you know what The Voice is? Like,
I know they turn around, and then they're like, yes. Or something like that, right?
Okay, yes. All right. Okay. So we're not going to get into it. I'll explain it to you later, okay? But the coaches, their whole job is not to just pick a... It's not like Simon Cowell, right? Where they're just like listening. They're seeing the product and they go, yes, I want you or I don't want you. The Voice is like they hear it and then they choose to pick them because they sing, right? And he's had a couple notes because I feel like regardless of what you feel about Adam Levine, I feel like he at least understands like the work of music.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, you have to stay in the pocket. You have to also sing the song. There are certain songs that you can't embellish. You have to sing it the way people are expecting, because it's kind of like an immediate turnoff if you start kind of like embellishing on your own.
It's like if eating a burger, you don't expect to have some sort of
like Sweet Caroline. You know what I mean? When you hear Caroline.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you do something different in that moment, it's an automatic. They don't like that because, hey, that's not the song I'm listening to. Right. And so anyway, all that to say is that's the vibe that I got from the comments that people were talking about. This run of Defying Gravity. Like I said, I'll send you the link later. The other thing is, I don't know if you know this, Wicked takes place, like I said, before Wizard of the Oz.
The Wizard of the Oz. The Kingdom of the Wizard of the Oz.
But apparently, this is something I didn't know because, again, I did not pay attention to Wicked the Musical. This is set before Wizard of Oz. And there's meant to be college students, like freshmen in college. Okay. And, which... Fuck me, sure. if I knew that. Which Ariana Grande kind of looks like, but they were giving Cynthia Erivo a lot of shit because she's apparently like almost 40 and, oh, she's too old and she looks too this and that. Yeah. And I was just like, man, I barely knew that she was green. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's about as much as I know. Okay. But yeah, like I said, the Broadway subreddit was tearing this movie apart, which kind of makes me want to see it even more, to be honest. Like,
well, this movie's supposed to be, I mean, the musical is supposed to be great, but also like a bit of me is like, I don't want a prequel. Like, I don't want to know what happened before. We talked about this last week, I think, how I don't want to know what happens before the story. And here we are talking about before the story. And this isn't just going to be a part. This is a part one.
Which was another thing people were upset about. Okay, they're giving it like that Harry Potter, that Hunger Games.
They're doing that, it because that, of they're doing the Dead Reckoning thing where they're not going to announce part one anymore.
Exactly. And so some of the things that people are familiar with the story is that like Defying Gravity is, if like the play was split into two parts, like that's kind of the end of the first part. But then they also showed some of the second half of the show in this trailer. Obviously, though, they're split into two parts, so they're kind of thinking, they're just trying to get people in the seats. They were like showcasing the movie for a Super Bowl audience.
Right.
So like there's a shot of like Dorothy and the crew in front of the wizard, and apparently that happens later, like much later in the play.
Yeah.
Because obviously
she dies. The witch dies.
The house lands on her, is what I fucking remember, right?
Wait, no, the house?
Yeah.
I thought water's thrown on her face and then she like melts.
Oh, that happens too.
No. Wait a second.
It doesn't matter. Listen, we're not the ones to usher you into
there's like a lot of witches, right? There's
at least two of them.
But there's got to be three. There's the one where the house falls on. There's the Wicked Witch.
Oh, that's a separate witch.
And then there's the other witch who like floats in a bubble.
The bubblegum one. Yeah.
That's got to be Ariana Grande, right? Who like floats in.
Yeah,
like,
she's Glinda or whatever her name is.
Glinda, great. I don't even know that's her name.
The fact that I barely know this knowledge, okay? This is not our avenue, okay? Yeah. We're just trying, okay?
Okay.
I'll send you the link later. You have to listen to Defying Gravity because that'll at least like give you a sense of who the character is and
why. Let It Go? Let It Go. Defying gravity. Like, is it kind of that situation?
That's essentially what it is. Yeah, you fucking nailed it. That's good. In fact, they're going to take this episode down because you nailed it so much.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The copyright's going to hit you hard.
The DCAA. Okay, right. Wicked. I will probably end up watching this because it's going to come out during the holidays, which is a really smart because when you're out in the holidays with your family, someone in your family is going to want to watch it.
That's right.
And I will be in that situation where somebody in my family will want to watch it. And that's how I will watch Wicked.
Let me know how it goes. Okay.
Okay. I will let you know.
You know, previously we talked about when we got together for Christmas that Ariana Grande and what's his name? Ethan.
Oh, Hunt? Fuck.
Is that his name? No. Not Ethan Hunt, you son of a bitch. I wish. No, that Ariana Grande and this guy, what's his name?
SpongeBob guy.
SpongeBob. Yeah, he's in Wicked. You know what I mean? Yes. Yeah, that's how they met.
That's how they met. Okay. Okay, I get it. Who does he play?
Probably the wizard, right?
Okay.
Of Oz?
Sure.
That's my guess.
No, the Wizard of Oz is played by Jeff Goldblum?
No.
Hold on. Googling. Wicked IMDb. Wicked. It is going to be Jeff Goldblum. Yeah.
Wow. The Wizard. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Ethan Slater plays Buck. I don't know. Okay. So check out Wicked coming out this Thanksgiving. And any more other trailers you want to talk about?
No, I think we did it all, to be honest.
Okay, so I know we talked about trailers. I want to talk about commercials real quick.
Yeah, you're going to have to leave this one. I didn't write these down.
Okay, I have some commercials. I think the one that even Ed was talking about was the Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Okay, Ben Affleck going in and interrupting his J-Lo's recording session, and he's with his boys. He's with Matt Damon and Tom Brady. And let me tell you that I've never seen Mr. Benny so full of life and alive.
He's so happy, to be honest.
I've never seen him so happy.
Yeah. Same. I felt that joy too watching the trailer. I was like, yeah, dude, get into this.
He was, and I'm not like usually into Ben. Like, I haven't seen Air. You know, I didn't.
Right.
Argo wasn't a big one for me. And when he showed up, I was like, all right, I guess this is working. I loved all the over, like the Duncan everywhere. Like, it's just at any corner, Duncan. And it was a funny commercial. It was effective.
Did you see they did like a I don't want to say behind the scenes or whatever, but they did like a side commercial, which I don't know if it aired during the Super Bowl, if it was just online, where Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, and Tom Brady were throwing a football through the Dunkin' Donuts.
I saw the thumbnail for that video and I didn't click it.
Well, if you enjoy life and laughter, okay, you should watch this one. All right.
I saw the full version of the Dunkin' Donut commercial. It was like 3 minutes long.
Yeah. No, I saw what was on TV. I didn't look that up unless they paired them both. I saw them separate. But yeah, where they were like doing like a throwing, like a contest.
Okay.
They threw the football and like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are like kind of touching the circle with the ball. And then Thomas Brady, right? He's like, fru-tu, fru-tu, fru-tu. And like at one point they're like, we've been doing this for 45 minutes, so you have to stop. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, like, okay.
But yeah, obviously Ed would enjoy this, right? Like it's like Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, we all love that, but he was a huge Tom Brady fan.
He's not a huge Tom Brady fan.
Huge, actually.
No,
yeah.
He's not.
No, ask him. Ask
I
him
was shocked when I heard that he was a Tom Brady fan. I am not a Tom Brady fan. He kisses his son on the lips. Google it. Let's talk about another, you know, did you see Martin Scorsese's commercial?
No, tell me about it.
He directed a commercial for the Super Bowl. You might have missed it. You might not even know what was it for. Dunkin' Donuts, you knew exactly what it was for. Dunkin' Donuts. Or actually, excuse me, Dunkin'. They don't call themselves Dunkin' Donuts.
It's the
Dunkin'.
Scorsese wasn't the Jesus commercial, was it?
No, that wasn't But honestly, well, he did make The Last Temptation of Christ, so, and well, he was Catholic.
Yeah.
But he didn't do the Jesus commercials.
Okay.
He did the Squarespace commercials.
Whoa. I didn't catch those, to be honest.
It was when there were aliens flying above. Actually, I have no idea why this even has to do with Squarespace. There was aliens flying above, and people were stuck on their phones looking down, and they were just like, oh, whatever, scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. And then the aliens were like, come on, you know, we're trying to get your attention. And then Scorsese pops his head up. He's like, oh my God, are those aliens? And then Squarespace. I saw a behind the scenes video of the creating of this commercial. And Squarespace was like, I can't believe we got Martin Scorsese. You know, we're from New York. And we want people to remember that. So we had to get the person who could capture New York. Yeah, Martin Scorsese.
I'm not going to lie. I do not recall that trailer at all.
He's like, in it. He's like looking up and saying lines and doing things.
Wow.
No, so dude, if you like Killers of the Flower Moon, check out the Squarespace commercial on the Super Bowl right now. Another funny commercial was the Paramount commercial.
Uh-huh.
The trailer with I'm losing my mind. Patrick Stewart. And the Paramount Paramount Plus commercial.
This leaked, sorry. They released it beforehand.
Yeah.
So I was kind of avoiding it because I was like, I want to watch it day of. Yeah. And then when it actually aired, I was like, let me go to the kitchen and fucking have a snack. I missed the whole thing.
Well, from what I heard, I was with Francesca, somebody who used to be on this podcast. Shout out Francesca. When we watched it, she's like, Louise, it's on. So I watched it. And then she was bummed because they cut out some of the best parts of that commercial because it was an abridged version of the one that was released online.
We got to stop doing that. Like, what is the point? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess the whole idea is, right, is that we'll spend $7 million and we'll get like 15 seconds of ad time. And then the full trailer will be online.
Just spend spend $14 million. What's another $7 million for me to have a couple more seconds of screen time? You know what I mean?
I say that every day. Like, what's another $7 million?
What's another $7 million? Just put it on the tab. No, this is where they're trying to, I don't know, get over the mountain, the Paramount Mountain.
That's hilarious.
And there's all these different characters. You got Knuckles. You got the cast from Reno 911. You have Patrick Stewart, who's the character. What's his name? From Star Trek.
Oh, okay. Picard.
Picard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Picard. And then you have a football player. And they're like, how are we going to get there? Oh, no. Drew Barrymore's there for some reason. And they're like, oh, well, if you kick a football all the way up there, we can climb up, whatever. And they turn to Hey Arnold, who has a football head. And they're like, okay, can you kick his head over the mountain? They're like, no, I'm not going to kick a kid. Pat, and then Patrick Stewart, right? Why do I feel like I keep saying his name wrong? I feel like fucking up. Okay.
Swayze is a different Patrick.
I know. I just feel like I keep messing up. He takes off his robe and he's wearing this old like 1930s football apparel and he grabs his head and then he kicks him. And then right when he kicks him, this is when the best part of it happens. Creed comes up and it goes, can you take me higher? And then Patrick Swayze Stewart starts singing it. And then even Arnold, he's like, I'm going higher. You know, he's like singing with Creed. Basically, it's a really well-edited video. I can't explain it. Go to YouTube.com and look it up yourselves.
I'm mad they cut it short. Right? It sounds like, you know what I mean? We were robbed.
Excellent fade-ins, excellent pairings, great cuts. Paramount Plus making great commercials. So that was another good one. Here's another one. Boom. Mayo Cat. I had a good time with that because it was a cat. Did you see this commercial?
Yes.
It was the SNL girl. She's in Ghostbusters. Kate McKinnon.
She's like,
I have all these leftovers. What am I going to use to make it? And then the cat jumps up on the table and says, mayo. And she's like, oh, mayo, genius. And then they start making this cat into a cat celebrity. It goes around the world, goes on Oprah, goes on the internet, goes to space. Like, this cat becomes famous for introducing mayo into the world. This cat starts dating Pete Davidson. And then the next second, they like break up, you know? And so there's this whole like, you know, this cat revolutionized the world by saying mayo. So it was adorable. There was also a Michael Cera commercial with CeraVe.
10 out of 10.
I loved
that one.
This was the face moisturizing thing where he's like, it comes from my name or something. He's climbing a mountain. He says, let my cream hydrate you. And he's trying to hydrate like a mountainscape. That was a good one.
I loved that one because they did like a whole preface in the week or two leading up to the Super Bowl where Michael Cera was like caught on a paparazzi photo where he was walking down the street with like bags of CeraVe.
No way. Are you serious? I didn't see that.
Yeah. Because everyone was like, why the fuck does he have so much CeraVe? And then of course,
That's really funny. Hold on. Let's see. Michael.
Like bags of it. And of course, like that look on his face where it's like, don't fucking take my photo right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He did it on purpose. Oh, that's really funny. Great. So yeah. One last commercial is the Like a Good Neighbor. State Farm is there. There's the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold.
Like a Good Neighbor. And then they had Danny DeVito at the very end. So you have a twins callback. Yep. Little note, Sarah Cortez, my wife, auditioned for this commercial. She was supposed to play it.
Robbed. Okay. Like, well, also she's been in an Allstate commercial before.
She has, but she was supposed to play a mother character. And I said, Sarah, you're too young to play this.
I tell you what, and she'll understand this, okay? She's too young. But Sarah Cortez is also mother, okay? Okay. She'll understand what I'm saying when I say that, okay?
Okay.
And the internet does as well.
But that was also a fun commercial. I think those are the top ones. Okay, I think that's all I'm going to say about commercial-wise. A lot of great edits on these commercial. Good editing. Great fun.
Let me just quickly tell you about my Super Bowl experience. First off, I told my wife and my son, okay, going into Sunday, I had a lot of dad duties in the start of the day. We did a kid's birthday party. I had to take my son to swim lessons. Yep. We had to be out of the house a lot. Okay. And the moment I got back in the car after swim lessons, I told my son in the rearview mirror, right, like I'm looking at him, I said, listen, okay, do you see? Listen. I was like, when we get home, the downstairs TV is mine. Okay. Like,
you guys compete for the TV?
Sometimes, okay, as a family. But I said, when I get home, it's mine, and you can go upstairs or you can go wherever you want, but that TV is mine. And I said, do you understand? He said, yeah, daddy. I said, great. When we get home, tell your mom. And so I told her the same thing. I said, listen, the TV is mine. And I sat down and I was like, look, it was like 3:30 my time, Colorado. I said, I'm going to play Fortnite for like 3 hours. Okay. And at the end of that 3 hours, I'm going to watch the football. I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to get snacks. I'm going to eat. I'm going to be drunk. I'm going to have such a great time.
Okay.
At like 3:45, I Googled, what time does the Super Bowl start? And in my time zone, it was 4:30 p.m.
Yeah. And I was like 3 hours.
I was like, fuck. Okay. Like, that is right now. So I basically had no time to enjoy myself. I had to jump right into the game and I got super into it. I'm a big Chiefs fan. Okay.
Are you really a big? No, you're not.
Yeah, of course I am.
Oh, okay.
Like, I bleed red in the other one.
Yeah. That's my favorite color, the other one.
No, sorry. I was just like, I was blown away how quickly I was thrown into the Super Bowl that day. Yeah. But no, it was a super fun experience. Had tons of beers, had tons of snacks.
All leading up to the halftime show where we got to see Usher. Perform.
Have we not even talked about this yet?
Gotta talk about Usher.
Did you have a good time?
I loved Usher. Me and everybody in the room, you were texting us saying, who else is going to show up? What's the first song going to be? What's the last song going to be? These are all the bets everybody was making and wondering.
Yes.
We all got wrong the first song, but a lot of us got right the last song, where was the last song.
Was going to be the big one, right?
We had Ludacris show up. We had Alicia Keys showing up. We had Lil Jon. And we had somebody else. Her
blew my mind. I kind of love her. Okay. Like, she just something about her, dude. Like, she jumps on stage. Did you see that video?
She just took control.
Did you see that video a while back where she plays, she did Benny and the Jets at some award show or something?
Oh, no. I haven't seen that.
She played Benny and the Jets, where she played the guitar and she sang, and Elton John was on stage, like, with her, not performing. It was like a dais or whatever, where they sat on stage while they performed.
And a dais? What is that?
Just Google it, maybe. I don't have time to explain.
Is that like sort of stage like situation?
You'll get it. You'll get
how
it.
How do you know so much about like stage situations here?
Listen, okay. I've been on stage a couple
you're
times.
You're fancy. Right? Okay, go ahead. A dais stage.
No, but Elton John was sat on stage while she performed that song, and he like exploded with excitement when she sang it because she was so good. And that was the very first time I ever really like clocked into her. But she was great. And as soon as she came out, I was like, I love her. She's so good. Great singer, great performer. Alicia Keys. Ed didn't know Alicia Keys. I was like, she's confirmed. She's going to be in this. Yeah. And did you see the Alicia Keys hate on the internet?
I've been off the internet, and no, I have. I don't even understand the hate. How is there hate for this goddess?
I tell you what, 45 seconds before she performed, I would have said the same thing. Like, how could you ever fucking say something bad about Alicia Keys?
In fact, I was in awe in the whole performance. I was just like,
she's one of those performers where when she sings, you're like, oh, of course you're a phenomenal singer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've never heard a bad performance. The thing that Alicia Keys got docked for is her very first note while she was singing.
Oh, I'm sorry. The very first note you mean. Everything else was incredible. Are you kidding me? Are you telling me people aren't allowed to make mistakes?
Messenger.
Do you know what I'm saying? Messenger. Okay, I hear you.
Don't shoot me, okay?
The whole thing, she was belting in a place
phenomenal.
You know what? Why don't you stand up, sir and ma'am, who's messaging?
Absolutely.
Get up and you start doing that.
You sing Alicia Keys.
She just made a little mistake. Like, fuck off. You know?
No,
like,
I know. I 100% agree with you, Luis. Again, do not attack
me. Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I love Alicia Keys. Okay. I think she can do no wrong. I did think that first note was a little rough, but you know what happened? Is she fucking saved that performance. I wonder why. Oh, because she's a phenomenal singer.
Yes.
Okay.
Not falling under the pressure.
Which, like, I mean, even as a big celebrity, it's got to be pretty daunting to be on that type of stage.
It's a lot of pressure to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised about that one bit, but the rest of the performance was phenomenal. I will say, just to tag on that, when they put it on YouTube later that night, they did like auto correct that note so that it doesn't sound like that which I kind of thought was like, okay, as a production value, whatever, but it just seemed a little disingenuous. Like,
it's like everybody
like
knows
good
what
singers
happened.
Like good, like Idina Menzel. We were talking about Idina Menzel earlier, Defying Gravity. She sang that song from Frozen a few years ago for like New Year's Rockin' Eve or whatever, and she also was getting shit about that because something about singing live, like singing these hard ass songs live, you know what I mean, isn't always easy. And no. You're absolutely right. Like, you get up in there and sing it, regardless of the condition of the weather or the show you're in. You know what I mean? You fucking nail it the first time.
Have you never been to a concert or a play? Like, no, absolutely. You understand that there's pressure? Like, you know?
Yes, dude. So that was like the only drawback of the whole performance that people really, and honestly, I think it's a little misogynistic, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Let's fucking give Alicia Keys a pass. She's fucking phenomenal.
Out of all the years of her wonderful career, can we just give her a 1 second pass?
A one time thing? Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll be okay. You know what I mean?
Also, obviously all the praise to her, but a moment that could have ruined him, but didn't. He was rocking those blades, and I was very afraid that he was going to fall. Very nervous, and he like was like bladed under his legs at one moment and popped up. I was like, oof.
Here's the deal. Swoop. When Usher when they put those skates on and there was like seven of them up there on skates, I said this was probably the most rehearsed portion of this whole thing. Like that was probably maybe I'm wrong. That had to have been like a day one, like we have to get this down now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Cause what are you gonna do? Fall on your face? While I'm saying this, did you notice that there were two people that fell during the performances?
No, I didn't.
Background,
notice.
Yeah. This is, again, I caught this all on the internet. There was one person who was like thrown in the air, like a guy. And people were like, is he okay? Because he kind of just came down. And then during like right when Ludacris came on, or maybe it was Lil Jon, that they had a shot of them where a girl in the background was climbing like the stripper pole. And she also fell off that pole mid-performance. And so there was a couple of people that like took some falls. Luckily it didn't ruin the whole thing. I will say this. What a fun performance. I did really enjoy. I think you texted us and you were like, wow, these last few Super Bowl halftime shows have been like electric.
Yeah.
This one was not my favorite.
Out of the ones that have happened, I would say, yeah.
Not my top, but
still fun.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I was having a great time because I was bopping, dude. Yeah. Like, they did a lot of good comments where Usher has so many hits. Kind of felt the same way about Rihanna last year as well. Usher had so many hits that like every song was basically up there for like 8 or 9 seconds, and then he had to flip to a new one. I mean, it was a crazy kind of like Ed was like, I told him like, oh, Alicia Keys is going to be on there. And he was like, my boo. Yeah. I was like, yeah, dude. He was like, no way they play that song.
And they did.
And I was like, what the fuck do you think she's up there for? If not for that song?
Yeah.
No, it was a fun performance. And I think the thing that just kind of goes against it is just because there's so many great halftime performances is that when you show up and you fucking nail it, you know, it's kind of like par for the course. You know what I mean? Course that's the level you hit. I sent you this list earlier. We'll just do this real quick. I'm not going to talk about the whole thing. There was a couple of really great performances in the last few years that really stood out to me, even just in the last 3 years. First off, last year, Rihanna, I can't tell you how many times I've rewatched that halftime show. I love Rihanna. And I mean, every song a banger. She was up there pregnant. Not only was she pregnant around there dancing and singing,
crazy,
but she was up in the fucking sky. Okay. Yeah, like how many times? I cannot tell you how many times I watched that performance. She was so good. The year before that was the LA show where it was Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick, Mary J. Blige, where they did that whole thing where they had the set in the center of the stage.
Yes.
And then every set was a set. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That was
50 Cent was also there too. This isn't on the list. 50 Cent, I remember.
Oh my God. We're upside like, down.
Yes. Spider-Man down.
That was one. I'm going to say something. When that got announced, I remember thinking, that's a lot of people. Like, I don't know how they're going to make that work. But every single song shined in that halftime show. I loved that performance. The year before that was The Weeknd, which was also shortly after COVID. There was like 100 dancers and everyone out there.
Yeah.
You've seen the meme where he's like, he's in the hallway and he's stuck or whatever.
Yes. The camera spins around a lot.
But what a phenomenal performance. I actually didn't see the one beforehand. It was Shakira, Jennifer Lopez, Bad Bunny, J Balvin, and Emmy Muniz. I can't believe
Bad Bunny has been around since 2020. I guess.
Dude, Bad Bunny's hot. People love Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Maroon 5 and Travis Scott the year before. That's crazy. Justin Timberlake, the Tennessee Kids. Oh, the Lady Gaga one. That was like the last bit before Weekend. That was the last one that I really saw. Yeah. Like the Lady Gaga one. That was like the, Houston, the
drones. Like the drones flew up and like created the whole thing.
Yeah.
That was good.
But also Lady Gaga is super good. Before that, Coldplay brought out Beyonce and Bruno Mars. That was a huge show.
Did Beyonce, like, didn't she show up for another performance in the Super Bowl recently? Hold on.
I know. I feel like she had her own. That was the thing. She had her own in 2013, and then she came back just to be like, yeah, I'm with Coldplay right now. So she's been in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She surprised. Yeah, she surprised a couple times that I forgot. So yeah, she's been in the Super
Bowl. In that same year, so where Coldplay came out, they were the headliner. They brought out Beyonce, who was a previous host or performer. They brought out Bruno Mars, who a couple years prior was the main attraction. So that was a super dope show. Katy Perry, then 2015.
That was the Katy Perry one. That was like the big cats. The walking around
the sharks.
The shark.
Yeah.
The sharks. That that became like a movement. A whole in itself. Thing.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Like that was a pretty Lenny Kravitz, Missy Elliott, those are two hot performers.
That's right. That song was pop. The Missy Elliott song was really big after that.
And that was kind of like her comeback. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Bruno Mars the year before, and Bruno Mars with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I'm also pretty sure the Red Hot Chili Peppers performed. I want to say Post Malone came out that year too. That's not listed, but I'm pretty sure he performed with Red Hot Chili Peppers. Beyonce, Madonna, Black Eyed Peas. Oh, Usher performed with the Black Eyed Peas in 2011.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, and Slash was on that one. I remember that one. And then we can go. There's so many more beyond. But I will say,
it's becoming, I feel like, I don't know. Remember when we were younger, it was like the Rolling Stones. It was a time of like, you know, our parents.
And people call it dad rock. Okay, that era of Super Bowl shows. And then I saw a comment that was like, but this is our dad rock. You know what I mean? Like Usher came on and a bunch of knees cracked when we all stood up. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
A bunch of people were like, ooh, let me stretch.
So that means, you know, like, who else from our era could even perform now? I feel like we've gone through.
We really have thrived. I feel like we should prepare ourselves.
But now Ariana Grande is going to be coming up. You know,
absolutely, and she's totally worthy of that spot. She's a very good performer. Like they could bring back One Direction. You know what I mean? Like Harry Styles could come
that's
out.
Good.
You
that's
know what
good. I mean? Right? Yeah.
Like
Jonas Brothers or something.
The Jonas Brothers. Yeah. Like you're starting to see those names. So think about it. Usher came out 20 years ago with all those songs that we love.
Yeah.
Same thing in the next few years, right?
Justin Bieber could come out.
Bieber is eventually going to do it. Yeah. Apparently, they said Usher and Bieber were supposed to come out at the same time this year, but Justin Bieber said, no, I don't want to. And the internet kind of expressed feelings of Justin Bieber's kind of going through this era of like, I am dealing with like mental health and exhaustion, and I don't want to do this anymore. And people are really kind of supporting him for that. But I bet you in 10 years, if Justin Bieber came out, we would all be here for it. And I bet it would be a really great show.
Yeah.
I will say I've been so impressed with these last few years that even when it comes to that point, you know, like when you watch Saturday Night Live and the performer comes out and you're like, oh, I didn't know who that was. I'm hoping I feel that way in the future, but my kid enjoys it. You know what I mean? Like I'm here for it.
No, we'll be in the know. We'll be in the know and we'll let you know on the podcast here.
That's right.
Talk Struck Nerd. That's the Super Bowl. Do we want to talk about what we're into? Or
honestly don't even know what I'm into at this point.
I feel like just keep it Super Bowl. Super Bowl talk. Yeah.
What a fucking fun episode this was.
Keep it tight. Listen, next week we're going to talk about the Night Country. True Detective Night Country. We'll get back onto the news. I feel like the news, there wasn't a lot of news because it just got like the whole Super Bowl sucked the air out of everything. Like it took all the spotlight. I was really looking for newsworthy stuff to talk about. Nothing was really available. The only thing I could think of was that Brad Pitt might star in the new Quentin Tarantino movie. No, not Brad Pitt.
Tom Cruise.
Thank you. Might pop in a Quentin Tarantino movie, which I like.
I'm kind of here for it, to be honest.
I'm here for that, too. That's a little bonus news.
This is the era of Tom Cruise coming back into the mainstream. And I totally get how you could feel one way or the other about that. But
he's made his movies now. How about you start jumping on other people's movies? You know, let's spread the Tom Cruise wealth.
Let's do it.
So next week we're going to do some news again, hopefully. We're going to do the True Detective season finale. If you haven't watched True Detective, why don't you catch up? Do a little homework so that when we talk about it, you can be all caught up. We'll have our friend Steven Escobar come in talking about that. Ed will be back by then. We'll have a whole crew. We're going to double up. There's two of us next week. There'll be four of us. After that, there'll be eight of us and so on and so forth. And then we're going to talk about what we're into, whatever that is. That's it. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
I'm Miguel Sanchez. Bye. Fuck you. Bye. Get out of here. Like and subscribe.